Ready for the word? Come on, church, are you ready for the word? Did you learn something in the morning? Alright, lift your hand, let's say this together. Our Father, name of your Son Jesus, we receive the revelation of your word in clarity and accuracy. There's no error or confusion in its atmosphere. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. In this service, he's glorified as we are edified together with the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. Matthew 16, quickly. We have quite some things to teach this afternoon. So, do your best to pay attention. There's a song we sing there. God has something to say. You know that song? God has something to say. Huh? Are you telling me? Listen. Huh? Okay, pay attention. Praise the Lord. All right, now, Matthew 16. I'm going to read quickly because of our time. Verse 16. Peter answered and said to him, Blessed is thou art the Christ. My mind is moving quickly. The Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. I say also unto you, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever thou shalt lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, when it says, upon this rock I'll build my church. Now, there have been different interpretations to that, and there have been, is it Peter is referring to, or himself? You know, and we've had conversation that even in this conference, we've had to deal with that subject. But you see, let's expand it a little bit. That's why I was saying the other time that sometimes if we stay just with the text, because sometimes we say, read the Bible in context. And we think context is the verse before it and the verse after. But as we have seen, context is not the verse before it or the verse after it. Context is the whole Bible. Hallelujah. The context of statements made is not just the verbiage of the letter. The context is the whole Bible itself. Now, what is it upon this rock? I'm just running through something very quick with you. Now, in the four Gospels, many things that Jesus did were deliberate, and the details were deliberate. For example, that he was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is a town of David. That's deliberate. Because the Messiah, the expected one, is called the Son of David. He will be in the lineage of David, so he's born in that place. Don't forget again that he's from the tribe, or let's say the lineage of Abraham, the lineage of David. Abraham, then David. Very important. Where he was born. Very important. Where he fled to. Very important. Where he came back to. Very important that he is in Nazareth. Nazareth is a city that is around Galilee of the nations. It's important too that he began his ministry in Galilee. And we've done that study before. Galilee is where the Gentiles, other nations were staying. He began his ministry, Matthew 4, 15 to 17, deliberately there. Deliberately. And when he gave them the Great Commission, he gave them the Great Commission in that specific place. Matthew 28, verse 16, 17, 18. He asked them to meet him at Galilee. He gave them the instruction there. So location is very important. He went to the right places. Notice again something critical. I've taught you this one. And you can lay your hands on So Great Salvation, the recent ones we did. That should be series 7 and 8. And when we did the study of this one, So Great Salvation, we began that series in 2007, I think, or 8. And we're still ongoing. Praise the Lord. You listen to that. We did studies around that. In Christ realities. Paul's identification. We began that some about 9 years ago too. and to show us the systematic way God's word is explained. Now, listen now. When he got to this particular mountain, right? They said, well, this particular mountain, where he asked that question, it had a reason. Because where he asked that question, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? The name of the place where he made that statement was called the gates of hell. And it's a place, they call it the Lord of the Dead. The gates of the Lord of the Dead. The gates of Hades. And that's where a particular God was being worshipped. That's why Matthew says, when they got to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, anyone who is familiar about that place, it rings a bell. Immediately. So when he says, upon this rock, I will build my church. I want you to listen very well. Put it in your notes. Echoes of Genesis. Echoes of Genesis. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Don't forget, the rock he's referring to here is called the gates of hell. You can call it the kingdom of darkness. I will build my church. Hence he says, the gates of hell. Now, that word prevail is quite a terrible rendering. The Greeks should say, the gates of hell could not resist. So in this instance, it is Jesus that is pushing, that is pulling weight. The gates of hell could not resist. That's a better rendering. I know some versions have changed that. So, when he made that statement, they knew what he was referring to. And the God who was being worshipped called himself, is it now? Christ. The Son of God. So when he asked that question, he was declaring war. Who do you say I am? Now imagine, there's Peter. He can see where the acclaimed Son of God is being worshipped. And Jesus asked that question there. So Peter says, no, this is not the Christ. You are the Christ. This is not the Son of God. You are the Son of God. Hallelujah. So that statement by Peter is a confrontation. You are the Son of God. No, you are the Son of God. You are the Christ. And Jesus, knowing the location they were, said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, because that's where they were, will not resist it. So I told you, put it in your mind, echoes of Genesis. We're going to see why I said so. Are you here? Are you here? Very good. Now, let's get back to some of the things we're looking at the last time. Get back to 1 Corinthians 15. Put your hands in there. See this. We said the gospel is God's story. Remember that? God's story in all of the scriptures. How Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Buried and rose again the third day. Did you get the third day? Did you get the third day? What about Christ dying for our sins? Did you get it? Very good. Because Christ, we had Noah Christ. Can we say it like that? Abel Christ. Huh? Does it make sense? Abel Christ? Enoch Christ? Even Methuselah is a Christ too. Noah Christ? Huh? Abraham Christ? Isaac Christ? Jacob Christ? Joseph is also a Christ. Moses Christ? Okay, so we now have Jesus Christ. Is that clear? Does it make sense? Alright. Jesus Christ. So here, it says, he died and he was buried. Now, was he the first Christ to die because of sins? Huh? Was he the first Christ to be buried? Hallelujah. Was he the first Christ to be raised from the dead? No, he was not. I got you. I showed you Jonah. Hallelujah. You think Jonah was swimming in the belly of the whale? He was swimming inside. Go and try it. Jonah said he was in hell. Look at Jonah 2. Come on. Praise the Lord. Come along. Jonah 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish belly. Come on. Now, let's read it together. He says, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of where? Hell. Hades. This is Sheol, the place of the dead. So Noah actually came back from the dead. Remember, Jonah, sorry. That is why when they asked Jesus, what sign? Can you remember that? He said, the sign of Jonah. So when Paul said Christ on the third day raised from the dead, he had read the scriptures together. Because Jonah was raised from the dead. But the phrase he uses here is now very critical. 1 Corinthians 15. In verse 12, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, that's the first place. 14, if Christ be not risen, pay attention, then is our preaching vain and our faith is also vain. 17, if Christ be not raised. Now, the word he uses here in the Greek is in the present tense continuous. Because Jesus isn't the first person to be raised from the dead in the Bible. But he is the one who is raised from the dead and is alive. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Because Jonah went back to the place of the dead. Jonah did. All that Jesus raised, including Lazarus, they went back to the place of the dead. Jesus came out, never to return again. Hallelujah. So this is the gospel story. So Christ, we have David Christ. We have Samson Christ. Solomon Christ. Anointed people. So Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He is Jesus Christ. Jesus the anointed. Just like David is anointed. Just like Samuel is anointed. Just like Moses. Watch this now. He is God. We said that earlier. Who became a man. Alright? So, he bears the responsibility of taking the journeys of the patriarchs to a logical, fruitful completion. So his resurrection brings their journeys from Abel to Zechariah to a fulfillment. So he takes on their journeys, takes on their sufferings, takes on their persecution. Because in Genesis 3:15, God said, I'll put enmity between you and the seed of the woman, or the woman. Thou shalt bruise is heal. He will bruise your head. And that will let us in the morning to look at the motif of childbirth. Hope you got that. Did you get that? So we said, a motif is a non-verbal prophecy showing a recurring pattern in a book, in a story, just like the Bible. So, listen now, the persecution of the anointed, is it a motif? Huh? What about killing the anointed? Okay? Even though they were not killed, they went to the grave. Motif. Consistent. Right. Been raised from the dead. We saw that in Jonah. But much more, right? We saw that the third day motif is when God appears. Genesis 22. We read that earlier on. Verse 4. And later on, when Abraham said, this is Jireh, we see, the Lord sees. And Exodus 19 also, we read that earlier also, where God said to them, on the third day I will appear. We saw it. So we have the motif of the third day, where Jesus' third day appearance is called the presence of God in the book of Acts. Why? Because third day is used systematically in the Old Testament for the presence of God. Hosea, again we saw it, 6, 1 and 2. The third day motif. There are other ones I could have read for you, but these are the closest of it. So Jesus rose from the dead the third day. So the things associated with the third day are equally associated with his resurrection. Now, quickly go to Luke's gospel. I want to show you something very, very quick. Luke's gospel. Luke 23. As we gradually approach the theme of the teaching of camp meeting, Lord help us. Luke's gospel 23. So the next time you read the four gospels, right? The four gospels are not mere history. They are written with the mind of theology. Every fact. You know, I told you something in the morning. I said, if you want to write someone's story, you can't write everything that he did. That's why John said the whole world can contain the books. But they were specific. Okay? Events that became relevant in the knowledge of God and Bible theology. Don't forget that part. Alright, so Luke 23. When you also, notice this again. When you see a word repeated, pay attention to it. The author wants you to pay attention to that word. Now look at this. Luke 23, verse 53. Now this is after Jesus was killed. And then he's on the cross. Then verse 53. He took it down. That's Joseph of Arimathea, and wrapped in a linen, and laid it in a sepulchre, and was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. A new grave. That's what he's saying. And that day, notice, was the preparation. And the Sabbath was near. It drew on. So note that word. Sabbath is a theme of the Bible. Sabbath. Okay? 55, and the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. Then pay attention to verse 56. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. They rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now he says in verse 1, chapter 24, and upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning. Now if you notice, John picked on this fact. John 20 verse 1, the first day of the week. Matthew 28 and verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week. Mark 16. Again, you can write echoes of Genesis. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James, Salome, and had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Verse 2. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week. So go back to Luke 24. So we must pay attention to that detail. So it means the Sabbath, right, is a theme, a motif in what Jesus is about to accomplish. Let me show you something else. Look at Mark's Gospel chapter 2 and verse 27. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Notice again that there were different things that Jesus used to explain his mission. One of them was the temple. He used the temple. In fact, if you check the four Gospels, much of the conversations he had were around the temple. Go to the book of Acts, it was the same thing. So many things he was describing was about the temple of God. Another theme of Jesus' work is the Passover. Usually, Jesus used meals to describe his work. Meals, to eat. John 6. If you eat, eat. Matthew 26, to eat. So eating became a motif. Very important. Now, I want to focus on this one. The Sabbath. The Sabbath. He says here, in verse 27, Mark's Gospel. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is the Lord also of the Sabbath. So the Sabbath is a theme of the Bible. We're going to look at it. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So quickly go to two texts, very critical texts. I told you, echoes of Genesis. Two texts. Exodus 20. And verse 8 to 11. The Sabbath is the seventh day of the week for the nation of Israel. That, put this down, is important. That they adopted in Egypt. And you know this, when you read the book of Genesis, you will see there was no special day. All days were the same. There was no reference to a seventh day or a Sabbath, except chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, which we are about to look at in a moment. None of the patriarchs talked about any day. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah, Abel, Enoch, nobody, Joseph. So that shows you that the concept of the seventh day is borrowed from Egypt. That's very important. Just like the Passover was found from Egypt. There is no Passover in Genesis. So here, Exodus 20, where you read what we call the Ten Commandments. Let me mention this very quickly. The Ten Commandments were never for salvation. The Ten Commandments were given to them upon their deliverance from Egypt. So that's important. Because in Exodus 20 verse 2, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Is that deliverance? Redemption? Salvation. Then it says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation to them that hate me. Let me mention that quickly. When he said third and fourth generation, I'll tell you what it means. Don't start counting grandpa, grandma. Mm-mm. Again, it's a language in their culture. You see that phrase in Genesis 15. Genesis 15. In the verse 16. In the fourth generation, they shall come either again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Now, fourth generation is a short phrase to say when you all die. So it is not to start counting grandpa, great grandpa. No. It's just a phrase to mean when you are gone. So when it says here, okay, to them that hate me, and showing mercy on thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Now look at 8. Notice 8 takes much of the time. All the other instructions, the phrase, the paragraph, like I told you, you can actually call it 10 words of a singular document. It says, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughters, manservants, or maidservants, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Quickly note that this refers to Genesis 2:1-3. What does that tell you? The audience of Genesis 1 and 2 is the same audience here. We're about to see something very critical. He said, remember the Sabbath day. What is it about the Sabbath day? God rested the seventh day. He created the heaven and the earth. Alright. Pay attention here. Pay attention. Don't forget what I said earlier. The seventh day practice is in Egypt. Just like the Passover and the feasts. So we've said that God borrowed the culture. Can you remember that? To communicate his word. Very important. Now quickly, go to Deuteronomy 5. Now, Deuteronomy simply means the second law. Why is it so? The generation that came out of Egypt, most of them, by Numbers 13 and 14, perished in the wilderness. So their children, who were spared, saved by God's mercy, now were commissioned to go to the promised land. And so Moses, because they were not in that first generation, he now retells the commandments to them. He re-preaches it to them. Now I want you to pay attention to details. Look at Exodus 20 again. Put your hands there and go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Pay attention. Notice the difference here. Verse 2. I'll start from 1. And Moses called on Israel and said unto them, hear Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord our God had made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not his covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid by reason of the fire and went not up unto the mount. This is Exodus 19. I am the Lord your God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now, let's keep those things and go quickly to the Sabbath. Verse 14. But the seventh day is the Sabbath. I start from 12. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God had commanded thee. He says, 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. Sabbath, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservants, nor thy maidservants, nor thy ox, nor thy ass, nor any cattle, nor the stranger that is within the gates, that thy maidservants and male servants may rest as thou well as. Let's take 15. Now put your hands on 15 and go to Exodus 20. You must not lose this. Exodus 20. Now look at verse, we read that earlier. So now put your hands on Deuteronomy 5. Now Deuteronomy 5 verse 15, is it the same as Deuteronomy 5, Exodus 20:10? Are they the same? Huh? Are you there? Look at it again. Exodus 20:10, Deuteronomy 5:15, are they the same? Huh? Yeah, the verbiage is very close. Now look at verse 11 that follows after. In Exodus 20:11, in 6 days the Lord created the heaven and earth and the sea and all them that is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So here is referring to creation. Right? Or God's creation. Look at 15, Deuteronomy 5. And remember. Now, in Exodus 20, they are to remember that God created the heavens and the earth and rested the seventh day. That is Genesis 2, verse 1 to 3. But Deuteronomy is differently worded. Look at 15. Can you see it? Did you see it? Let's take it together. And remember that thou was a servant in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God, let's go, brought thee out hence through a mighty hand, and by a stretched out hand, therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. What's going on here? Moses equates the creation of heaven and earth, is it now, to the Exodus. That's what he has done. Moses, therefore, is explaining the Exodus as a creation motif, or God is doing something new. So put it there. While Deuteronomy 5, 12 to 15, has a redemption fact, Exodus. Exodus 20 verse 8 to 11 has creation facts, which means, like I've taught you, the reason for Genesis 1 and 2 is the Exodus. And the reason for the Exodus is God's new creation. Therefore, we read the Sabbath as creation and also as redemption. So put your hand there very closely. And very closely. Notice, put your hands in those two texts and go to Luke 24, the one we read earlier on. Luke 24. Are you still there? Okay, Luke 24. Now we read verse 1. Upon the first day of the week, right? Very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing spices, which had prepared and sent all the time. Quickly, then they didn't find the Lord's body. Now, look at verse 5. As they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, the beings they saw, two men stood by them in shining garments. That's verse 4. Sorry, I'm moving very quickly. In shining garments. Now, pause a little bit. And go to Luke 9. Put your hands there. Put your hands in many texts. Is that clear? Uh-huh. Luke 9, quickly. Luke 9. This is the Mount of Transfiguration. Verse 29. As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. Then he says here, and behold, there talked with him, how many men? Which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he will accomplish at Jerusalem. The word decease there is Exodus. So which means the Mount of Transfiguration also had an Exodus motif. Luke 24, verse 4. There were about two men stood by them in shining garments. Now, the Greek word here, right? Astrato is the Greek word. Lightning clothes is the same word used in Luke 9. When they were afraid and bowed down, verse 5, why do you seek the living amongst the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember. Come on. Remember. You know, we've read remember twice now in Exodus and Deuteronomy. Who's following this? Remember. Now, this Greek word here, right, mimnesko, is the same Greek word that we're about to look at in a moment, of the Hebrew word zakah, used in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. Remember. And Luke uses this remember so often. Let me just quickly run to that quickly. Luke 1, 54 and 72. This is about John the Baptist's birth. He had opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. Remembrance of his mercy. Coming of Jesus. Luke 1:72. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. Now, God does not remember something. He doesn't forget. So take note of that word remember. Okay? So to remember his holy covenant. Luke 1:72. In Luke 16 verse 25, the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Luke 16:25. Abraham said, remember, son, in your lifetime, you received good things. Likewise, Lazarus. And what is Abraham's emphasis here? Abraham said in 29, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Then again in 31, if they hear not Moses and the prophet, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. So we know this parable is about the resurrection. Luke 23, again 42. The thief on the cross, remember me when you get into your kingdom. Luke 23, 42. Luke 24 and 6. Luke 24 and 6. Remember how he spoke unto you while he was yet in Galilee. We read that earlier. Luke 23, 24 again, verse 8. They remembered his words. Luke 24, verse 8. John also uses it in John 2 and 17. John 2. And verse 17. John says, his disciples remember it was written, the zeal of your house has eaten me up. Then again in verse 22, when he rose from the dead, disciples remembered that he has said unto them. John 12, quickly just put it down and you check it yourself later. John 12, 16. These things understood not his disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, when he was raised from the dead, then they remembered. So there is a theme being passed across here. Let me see if you're following this. Come on. Are you following this? There is a theme being passed across here. So, when those two men said, remember what he told you. The first thing they said in Luke 24, why do you seek the living amongst the dead? The word there is tonzonta in the Greek. T-O-N-Z-O-N-T-A. Now I picked that word and I went to the Septuagint, which is the Greek rendering of the Hebrew Bible. And I saw that that word living, alright, was used for God. Psalm 42 and verse 2. Psalm 42 and verse 2. My soul thirsts for God. For the living God, Zonta Elohim, Zonta Elohim. For the living God, again, Daniel 12, Daniel 12 and verse 7. Daniel 12 and verse 7. Again, it says here, I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters, and he held up his right hand and his left hand in heaven, and he that liveth forever. The word zonta is used there again. Then in Numbers 14, 21, mark this one. As I live, saith the Lord. Now, why would God say, as I live, as though he's going to die? Those are echoes of the resurrection. As I live. Why is he called the living God? Now, we think what it means is other gods are dead. Actually, those other gods were alive. Is that clear? The phrase living God is an echo of the resurrection. Zonta, Zoe, to come alive. As I live, saith the Lord. Numbers 14:21. the earth shall be filled with my glory. Those are the echoes of the Great Commission. When Jesus rose from the dead, he re-echoed Numbers 14:21. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Who's following this afternoon? Come on, let me see your hand. Are you following this? Very good. So, the theme of the Sabbath, I choose to pay attention. The theme of the Sabbath here is very critical. The theme of the Sabbath takes us back quickly to Exodus 20. We read that in Deuteronomy 5. We said that Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5 are interwoven. Exodus 20 focuses on creation. Deuteronomy 5 focuses on redemption, which means redemption and creation are the same. So God's creation and God's redemption are referring to the same thing. Now, I need you to pay attention. This lack of understanding, you know, I told you earlier yesterday and this morning, that to know what is in a book, you must go into the mind of the writer. Moses or the writers of Genesis could not have been writing about science. Firstly, this was a pre-science era. So if we decide to impose today's knowledge on scripture, thinking that's what they are writing, we're going to have problems with scientists because we're not going to make sense. The truth is, what was Moses writing about? Redemption. Is redemption God's creation? Yes. So Moses uses elements of nature to explain God's redemption. He is not writing when the earth was created. No. I've said that over the years. I've seen some guys even come to criticize me. He said, I don't know, why is he? Is he against saying that God created the earth? You better shut your mouth and listen. Don't quote any preacher out of context. You are being evil. These are things we are taking time to explain gradually. Moses is not talking about, the writers of Genesis 1 into Genesis 2 are not referring to the age of the earth. Not at all. Moses is talking about redemption. I'm going to show you that in a moment. So I showed you Deuteronomy 5 and Exodus 20. Deuteronomy 5 focused on redemption. Talked about the Sabbath is for redemption. Exodus 20 says the Sabbath is for creation. And we're about to see that creation and redemption are the same things. Are you following what I'm saying this afternoon? Now pay attention quickly. Let me show you something. Go to Genesis 1. And verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Again, I'm going to repeat it. The audience of this teaching, are they the Exodus audience? Huh? So, what will be in their mind? Exodus. God's deliverance. God's salvation. They are not in, sorry, scientists help me. They are not in an astronomy class. What else can I call it? Is it geography? What else? Science. Physics. They are in a physics class. And then when you say, let me explain to you how the moon came about. No! That's not your job. Sometimes I see pastors, this is the point. And the pastors take the Bible, they are trying to explain business or politics. We are going to last date. You know, last days. Because it's not for that purpose. Dr. Miles Monroe says something I love a lot. Where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. If you don't know what the audience of Moses heard, you are going to say nonsense. What did the audience hear? What was he talking about? What was he talking about? For example, when we talk about eternal life, you know, we have So say, eternal life, I want to see eternal life, Lord, save my soul. I want to see eternal life, Lord, save my soul. Oh, my Savior, you want to collect your people. Remember me. You don't remember some of you. Remember? Remember me, O Lord. Remember me, O Lord. Now, we sang that for a while. Then we picked and said, no. Eternal life is not in the future. So we said, eternal life is that life, we say, in the human spirit. It's not wrong, but it is too narrow. When the Jews sat down and Jesus said eternal life, they knew what he was talking about. Eternal life is called, pay attention, the age of the Messiah, the reign of the Christ. That's why he said, I am the life. Eternal life refers to the reign of the Christ. You can put it like this, a new Exodus, a new Genesis. That's what it means. So I say, I have eternal life. Eternal life is not a personal possession. It's what God is doing in the earth. Eternal life is what God is doing in the earth. That is why it is the working of His Spirit in man. Eternal life is what God is doing through man. It is what His Spirit is doing through man. So eternal life is what God is doing in the earth. As I live, saith the Lord, the earth shall be filled with my glory. Habakkuk says, as the waters covers the sea, that is eternal life. Let me share with you what I'm saying here. We are participants, possessors of it. But it is not just about you, it's about what God is doing in the earth. And it is forever. I said it is forever. Hallelujah. So pay attention. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, to know the importance of this, the writer uses the word reshit or bereshit, used for first fruit or new beginning. I've explained that to you over the time. When you continue something, when you restart, it is called a reshit or bereshit, also called first fruits. So this is actually a new beginning. So, if you have a translation today, and you want to explain it in terms that can be clear to your audience, in the new beginning, in the fresh start, God created the heaven and the earth. And it's so easy to see it. He says, the earth was without form and void. Tohu bohu or tohu wabohu. Form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. So there was already something in existence. And if you read Genesis very well, the word earth is used both for this place and people. I'm about to see something in a moment. Without form and void. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Is he trying to swim? Because waters also refer to people. Now put your hands there and go to Deuteronomy 32. Are you in church? Glory, glory, glory. Say glory, glory, glory. Watch this now. Verse 9. The Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. Pay attention. He found him in the desert and in the waste, howling wilderness. That word waste is the same word we read now in Genesis 1:2. Tohu. Without form and void. Howling in the wilderness. It describes the wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Pay attention to 11. As the eagle stirs up her nest, flutters over her young, spread them over her wings, takes them, buried them on her wings, so that the Lord alone lead him, and there was no strange God with him. The word here Rakaf. In the Hebrew. Nakaf, sorry. Rakaf, Rakaf, yeah. In the Hebrew, is the same word in Genesis 1-2. The Spirit of God moved upon. So you are reading the same thing. Genesis 1-2, Deuteronomy 32, and verse 10 and 11 are saying the same thing. Pay attention. And God said, verse 3, Genesis 1-3, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, it was good, and divided the light from the darkness. This is not the sun, which shows you this is not about matter. He divided the light from the darkness and called the light day, and the darkness he called night. The word quara there, Q-A-R-A, means to name for function. He called the light day and the darkness he called night. Don't forget, the darkness was already in existence. Now, pay attention somewhere. This word used here, and God divided the light from the darkness, is the Hebrew word badal, B-A-D-A-L. Now, quickly go to Leviticus. Badal. Before I get there, because this word is used for separation. Don't forget the darkness was existing. God spoke the light, then he separated the light from darkness. Actually, in the Hebrew, when he said, light be, he meant, I am light. Or I am your light. I am your light. Now pay attention somewhere. In Exodus 26 verse 33, that word badal was used to separate the temple. Exodus 26:33, Leviticus 1:17. Also the temple sacrifice. Leviticus 5:8. Now, go to Leviticus 10. We've established that the audience is the same. Leviticus 10 and verse, Leviticus 10 and verse 10. Now this is God speaking to Israel and to the priests. Verse 10, that you may put difference, badal, between holy and unholy, between unclean and the clean. Leviticus 11 and 47. To make a difference between the clean and the unclean, the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. Now, go back a little bit to verse 44. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves. You shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourself with any manner of creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And the Lord your God, pay attention, that brings you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Therefore, he causes a separation. So if Genesis 1 is a redemptive story, it means the light separated from the darkness is referring to people. Let me see if I follow what I'm saying here. Come on. Let me see. Are you following what I'm saying here? Referring to people. He separated it. Quickly go to Jeremiah chapter 4. So what we're reading here is a redemptive story. An Exodus story. This is Romans. Sorry, Jeremiah chapter 4. Are you still there? Verse 21. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. Pay attention. They have not known me. They are sottish children. And they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil. And to do good they have no knowledge. Pause there. You know, I told you earlier that the word earth, many times in scripture, is referring to people. Put your hands there. Go to Genesis 6. Genesis 6. This is God speaking. in verse 11. The earth was corrupt before God. Is it talking about material world or people? Huh? Come on, are you there? You are still opening your Bible, God, wait for you. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Material world or people? Okay, look at verse 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. People. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. Through them, the earth shall be filled with his glory. But Satan has come to do a counteract, a counterfeit, filled with violence. So the word earth is used for men. So go to Jeremiah 4 again. Are you with me? Come on guys, are you with me? Now look at this. For my people is foolish, verse 22. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil. To do good, they have no knowledge. Now, look at 23 together. Let's say 23 together. I beheld what? Come on, I'm waiting for you. Come on. I beheld what? I beheld what? It was what? Form and void. The heavens, they had no light. The earth here, is it the material world of people? Now, are we reading Genesis 1-2? So, Genesis 1-2 was understood by the audience as referring to people. Not the material world. We're not done. Look at verse 24. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. And I beheld, lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. Verse 26, I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness. All the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord. And he says, his first anger. 27, and thus saith the Lord, the whole land shall be desolate. Synonym of the word to who? Yet will I not make a full end. So Genesis 1, 2 into 3 is the story of God's redemption. When done, go to Genesis 1 again. Let's read this together. We're going to start from verse 7. Go to Exodus. I told you over the years, you must study Exodus together with Genesis to understand what is being said. Look at Exodus. Exodus 14. Now, let your eyes be wide open. We said, you must pay attention to what? I didn't hear you. To what? I didn't hear you. So, Genesis 1, verse 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, into 11. Exodus 14, verse 19. Watch this now. Put your eyes on the two texts. Genesis 1, 7 to 10 or 11. Exodus 14, verse 19. This is when they crossed the sea. Watch this. The angel of the Lord went before the camp of Israel, removed, and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went before their face and stood behind them. Pay attention. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. It was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the ones that came not near the other all the night. Echoes of Genesis? Huh? Is there a separation? Light and what? Come on, light and what? Look at the next verse. And Moses stretched forth out his hand over the sea. Pay attention. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Genesis 1, verse 7. Verse 6. Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the water from the waters, nation from nation. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. It was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and heaven and the evening and the morning were the second day. Look at 9. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. Genesis 1 verse 21. He made the sea to dry, and the waters were divided. Verse 22. The children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon what? Come on, upon what? Are we reading the same thing? Upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them, unto the right hand and unto the left. So Genesis 1, verse 8, 9, and 10 is talking about that Exodus. Upon the dry ground. So the Exodus is God's new creation. The Exodus is God's recreation. So, when Moses said in Exodus 20, remember the Lord God. 6 days he created heaven and earth, and the seventh day he rested. Then he goes to Deuteronomy chapter 5, and he says, the day he brought you out of bondage, which means the Exodus is a creation story. Creation is Exodus. So therefore, what then was happening in Genesis 1? Order. Because Genesis 1, 2 is disorder, without form and void, or call it chaos. Chaos. Under chaos, you have darkness, violence, wickedness, disobedience, chaos. Light is order. Hence, God calls the first day, or the light day, and the darkness night. He makes a separation. That separation is order. So redemption sets order in God's creation. God's new creation is his order. Is setting things right. You can also call it righteousness. So Genesis 1-2 is chaos, disorder. Let there be light. By the Spirit of God, you have that as order. Okay. Genesis 2. And verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished. Genesis 2:1. And all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. Pay attention. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So, Genesis 2, 1 to 3 is the eventual result of Genesis 1, 2, and 3. So we now have order. Genesis 2, 1 to 3. God had finished it. Order. Order means there's a separation. Order means there's a redemption. Order means there's a new creation. What else? Is there a gathering? Huh? Genesis 1, is there a gathering? Come on, talk to me. Exodus 20, is there a gathering? There's a gathering. Is there a deliverance? Yes. Is it calling it out of darkness? Yes. I told you to pay attention. Upon this rock I'll build my church. So Jesus built his church from where? Darkness. Is that Genesis? Is that redemption? Is that redemption? Is that Genesis? Pay attention. You are going to see the Sabbath now. Light from darkness, Genesis. Light from darkness, Exodus. New creation. The resurrection. Light from darkness. He got his son from bondage. New creation. Redemption. Genesis. I told you over the years that Genesis is God's character. To save, to redeem, to begin again. God's character. So the Sabbath, even though Moses adopted the seventh day of Egypt, was dealing with God's redemption story, which he also called new creation story. So every time you see God doing something new, he gathers. In Luke 1, we saw it about Jesus. In Ezekiel 36, before that, look at Isaiah. So God's new creation and God's redemption is a gathering. Is a gathering. Isaiah 2 and verse 2. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow in. A gathering. Isaiah 56. And verse 1. Let me go quickly to verse 7. Even them will I bring to this, to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. My house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar. For my house shall be called the house of prayer for what? Did Jesus refer to this? Mark 11, 17. What's he talking about? Verse 8. The Lord God, which gathered the outcast of Israel. Is that the Exodus? Yet will I gather others to him, besides those that are gathered unto him. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. Watch this. Verse 23. I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you are profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Sanctification, is that also in the Exodus? To put a difference. Okay? Watch this now. Let's take 24 together and slowly. Let's go. Are you there? Let's go. I will take you from among the heathen and what? Gather you out of all countries and bring you to your own land. Exodus? Genesis? Come on. Exodus? Genesis? How is he going to do it? Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. You shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart. Exodus? Genesis? Will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the heart of your flesh. I'll give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Now, quickly, something's going to happen here now. Ezekiel describes this like the Garden of Eden. What does he say? In that day, verse 33, that I have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded. Waste. Genesis 1, 2. Good. Watch this. And the desolate land shall be tilled. Genesis 1, 2. Whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. They shall say, this land that was desolate It's become what? Like the garden of where? Echoes of Genesis. God's redemptive story. His new creation. His redemptive story. So, the Sabbath, watch what I'm about to say. The Sabbath is not for inactivity. It is the opposite of chaos. Disorder. So when they were told to rest on the Sabbath, listen there, it's one, very vital. They were told to rest in the Sabbath to symbolize what it means. Sabbath does not mean do not work. It means rest. Rest is the opposite of unrest. Are you here? Light is opposite of darkness. Chaos, opposite of Sabbath. Let me see if I follow what I'm saying here. Good. So when they accuse Jesus of walking on Sabbath or healing the sick, he told them, if your animal was lost. Now when an animal is lost, is that chaos? Won't you go look for it and bring it back? You saw him. Then he said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has tohu bohu. Come on. Be loosed, Sabbath. Being a daughter of Abraham. So Sabbath is not inactivities. It is the opposite of chaos. Opposite of what the devil had done. Destruction, violence, wickedness, works of the flesh. The opposite of it is Sabbath. As we're about to see in a moment, Sabbath is a responsibility. So, watch this now. The earth is filled with violence. God called Noah. Noah now, the name Noah in the Hebrew means rest. Or add the word rest place, refreshing, rest place. Why? In the midst of chaos, this is God's rest place. So Sabbath is a cure to chaos. Are you in church? Is a cure to chaos. So Exodus 20. Hallelujah. Said hallelujah. Said hallelujah. What's going on here? God says to them, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What is Sabbath again? Rest. Is it inactivity? No. Order. Stability? Is it healing? Restoration? Come on, church. Restoration. So God does not dwell in chaos. He dwells in restoration. Wherever he dwells, it is restored. So, God resting on the Sabbath simply means, watch this now, God's activities, they bring rest in the midst of chaos. So Moses, pay attention here. In Exodus 4, verse 22 and 23, and I know you know this, so I'm going to go around it quickly. He said, Israel is my son. Is that a messenger? Hey, says God, is that a messenger? My firstborn. Is that an office? Good. He said, I've called Israel to serve me. In Exodus 19, 5 and 6, he says, I've called them as a nation of kings and priests. Can you remember all of that? Good. So, watch this. Did he save them so that they can serve? Are you following this? They are saved to serve. They are rescued from Egypt to serve. So Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, sacred. What do you mean by remember? Notice what he's talking about. Verse 11. To allow God's new creation. To esteem God's mission on earth. To esteem God's plan. Because the word remember does not mean recollect. Mm-mm. In Genesis 9:1, go there quickly. 8:1, sorry. It is used for God and Noah. God remembered Noah. Does it mean, there's a guy, what's his name again? Noah. No. It cannot be to recall in memory. No. In Genesis 9:15, he remembered his covenant. Genesis 9:16, he remembered his covenant. Genesis 19:29, Sarah. God is not, it's that word is used for God. So it can't be memory. Zakah means to talk about it. God talked about Noah. God talked about Sarah. It's another word for preaching. In Genesis 30 verse 22. In Genesis 40 verse 14 and 23, where the fellow that Joseph interpreted his dream did not mention him. Now let me ask you, does it mean that the guy forgot? How can you forget somebody who interpreted a dream that you are going to be killed? You thought you were going to be killed and you're going to rescue? No. He just did not talk about it. He didn't talk about it. Genesis 41 verse 9. Genesis 42 verse 9. In Exodus 2 verse 24, is used for God. He remembered his covenant. Exodus 6 verse 5, for God. Exodus 13 verse 3. So the word remember means to talk about it. You can use the word to preach about it. Psalm 8 verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him? That means what is man that you are always talking about him? Nor the son of man that you visit him. So, watch this now. When he said, look up, don't mix this up. When he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. For in 6 days God created heaven and earth, and he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. And we saw in Genesis 1 that it is a redemption motif that he's teaching them. And when God, Deuteronomy chapter 5, said, remember the Lord your God that delivered you from Egypt. So which means God's redemption is now your story in the earth. It is now your message. Remember God saved you so you can tell others. Which follow what I'm saying here right now? So the Sabbath is a ministry. A ministry that brings rest in chaos. A ministry that brings restoration to disorder. So when Jesus rose on the Sabbath, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Upon this rock, Genesis, light out of darkness, I'll build my church. He built his congregation from the land of bondage. Light out of darkness, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell could not withstand it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when Moses told them, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's a message. A message has been given to you. I told you, the gospel is in the stories. What God is doing. God has saved you. And he has called you. Salvation is a call to ministry. Is that clear? It's a call to ministry. Redemption is a call to ministry. Exodus is a call to ministry. Genesis is a call to ministry. Because when he made man, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. What is he next?
Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And God created man. Male and female, he created them. And he blessed them. And said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. What's replenish the earth? Because the earth was without form and what?
Void.
Replenish the earth. Multiply. Subdue it. Which means when you are called out of darkness, you are called into a responsibility. You are called into a duty. You are called as God's spokesperson in the earth. Salvation is a privilege and a responsibility. The Sabbath is God's will for the whole earth. I'll touch that tomorrow because of my time. The Sabbath is God's will for the whole earth. Let me run through this quickly. Later interpreters. Moses said, the Sabbath means God saved you. Talk about it. Are you following? David, years later, he got up and he said, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. For he said, and he swore, they will not enter into my rest. Now, David changed that word to rest place. Menucha in the Hebrew. Rest place. What is God's rest place? Genesis 2, 1 to 3. The whole earth. God's new creation. Isaiah 66. Isaiah picked on that. He said, heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. Where is the place of my rest? My resting place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you learning something here? Are you learning something here? Glory, 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 glory. I said glory, 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 glory. I said glory, 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 glory. So God's rest place is the earth. Is the earth. God's resting place is the old earth. The writer of Hebrews puts it like this. He said, let us fear. Hebrews 4:1. Lest the promise of entering into his rest any of you to seem to come short of it. He said, for the word, the same gospel preached to us, was preached unto them. But the word preached was not mixed in, with faith in them that heard it. He said, but we who have believed, we do enter into his rest place. He said that. The same man, now in Hebrews 12:22. Before he got there in Hebrews 11, said, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. As foundations where God is not ashamed to be called their God. Hebrews 12:22, he now says, you have come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God. He says to the heavenly Jerusalem. He says to the church of the firstborn, to the innumerable company of angels. To the spirits of just men made perfect. What's he talking about? That is God's rest. That is the opposite of chaos. That is the exact opposite of darkness and violence and corruption in the earth. So we have not entered into it. We have not entered into the church of the firstborn. Firstborn are men and women that carry God's responsibility in the earth. Like Jacob, like Isaac, and like Joseph. We're in the church of ministers. A church of God's prophets. A church of God's priests. And our job is to remember the Sabbath day. To keep it holy. What's he saying? I close here. To keep God's plan sacred before you. To keep his plan special, sacred. To keep his plans in a special place. That's why he said to them, honor your father and mother.
You will not covet. You will not steal. What's all that? That is God's order in the earth. He's bringing order through His church. He's walking through His church. We are His church. He called us out of Egypt. He called us out of bondage, out of darkness. He separated us from darkness. Hallelujah. We stepped on dry ground. We're a new creation. We are in His image. We are in or as His image and likeness. He has given us a duty to perform. So Sabbath is our responsibility. Sabbath means to bring rest, to bring order, light to darkness, healing to brokenness, to diseases. Sabbath means light in darkness, restoration to waste and disaster. It means salvation for all men. Sabbath means to gather people, the outcasts. Sabbath means for the nations to be called by His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we are saved to remember the Sabbath. We are saved to remember our salvation. We are saved to preach, teach, mention, talk about our salvation. Hallelujah. My salvation is holy. It's special. I treat it differently. How often do you talk about salvation? There's evangelism where you go out to preach. Yeah. You must do that. But your whole life is evangelism. Which means all the days of your life, you keep talking about salvation. God's deliverance, redemption of your soul from the powers of darkness. All the days of your life. It has now become your entire life. Your life is sold out to this. Your days are sold out to it. Your moments are given to it. To always remember what God has done in you that He seeks to do through you. You're blessed this afternoon. Lift your two hands. Say, Lord, I revere what You have done through me. I revere the Genesis that You have started with me. I revere the new creation that You are working in me. Lift those hands.